Psalm 119. I want to especially leave with you this morning the words of verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Direction needed. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We're in the inner portion now of the first section of Psalm 119, the first room of the 22-roomed house. We pass through the porch area of the room, that is the first three verses, and at verse 4, we notice a change of tone, and that change of tone continues throughout the whole remainder of the psalm in every room. And that tone, from verse 4 onwards to the end, is the tone of prayer. The psalmist now directly addresses God. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So he's beginning to talk to God. This is his response to being in the porch. In the porch, he's heard about the blessed people. He's heard the preaching. He's heard the word of God. And he has been hearing that the Lord wants his people to be in conformity to his word. And really, verses 1 to 4 is a confession of that. This is what the Lord wants. He wants his people to walk in the law. He wants his people to keep his testimonies. He wants his people to do no iniquity and to walk in his ways and to keep his precepts diligently. The Lord wants that. And in verse 4, the psalmist is acknowledging that. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So verses 1 to 4, the emphasis is on what God would have us to be, what God wants us to be. And now the psalmist begins to express a desire for that, a yearning for that, and for direction concerning that. He knows what the Lord would have him to be, and now he says, oh, that my ways were directed to that end. So he's expressing a desire. And it's a very personal desire. And we have the first use here of this first person pronoun. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He's becoming intimate with the Lord, and he's using this my. And from here on in, there's this personal intimacy with the Lord, praying about himself, praying about his soul, praying about his heart. So verses 1 to 4 is all general. It's what God wants generally for his people. And now the psalmist says, verse 5 onwards, I want to be among that people. I want to be that man. He's not going to search the way of others. He's not going to inquire about how others are doing. He's not coming into this house and into all these rooms to get sermons to preach to others. No, he's coming into this house for his own soul, for himself. Not to come to be critical of others and to preach on others, but he's coming in here with his own soul, for his own soul, for his walk with God, to pray about himself. And he says, oh, that my ways, never mind the ways of others. I'm not concerned about my neighbor's ways so much as my own. Oh, that my ways were directed. So he's praying for himself. He has to walk with God. And so he begins to pray for himself. And in this psalm, David, we could say that David is an oh that believer. Oh that. That expresses desire, doesn't it? Longing. And that's what God's people should be. They should be oh that believers. Hungering and thirsting, having a yearning for God. Oh that. Oh that I might be godly. Oh that I might love the Lord more. Oh, that I could be good always, all the time. Oh, that I was kind and thoughtful, even as we said this morning, oh, that I was merciful and truthful. You should be that kind of a Christian, having this yearning to be godly, to be sanctified. Oh, that I could win souls for the Lord. Oh, that I could have more of the likeness of Christ. You remember Abraham? Abraham was an oh, that man of God. You remember how Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Oh, that the soul might live. Oh, that the soul might have salvation. Oh, that my son and my daughter might live and know the Lord. We should be, oh, that believers. The wonderful thing for us is that God is an oh, that God, because he takes up this language sometimes. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, he says concerning his people. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. You see, God desires this too. God desires this for his people. Oh, that my people would fear me. And we should echo back, oh Lord, that I would fear thee. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. So God desires things too for his people. And God desires what David desires too. So both of them are coming together here. Whenever we want to be holy, and I trust that we have that desire to want to be holy, we can know this. God wants it too. In the Hebrew of verse 5, there are five words. And the middle word is my ways, my steps, his own paths, his own tracks, his own goings, his own ways. A central theme in verses 1 to 3 is the theme of walking. Walking in God's ways. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, verse 1. And then verse 3 at the end, they walk in his ways. So God's people walk in his ways. And David wants that. That his ways might be in accordance with God's ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to be in accordance with his ways. Oh, that I could walk in his ways. Oh, that my ways were along his paths and his tracks. So there's this idea of walking that he learned in the porch. And now he's transferring this. I want my walk to be that. I want my steps to be in the ways of the Lord. That his path would be God's path. Not that God would walk in his ways. You know, a lot of people want God to walk in their ways. You know, they have ways of wickedness, the ways of the world, and they're hoping God will walk in our ways. But that's not the way it works. We can't expect God to walk in our ways. We have to walk in his ways. And we have to have this yearning to be able to do it. Oh, that my ways were directed to be in thy ways. So God has his ways, and he wants men to walk in his ways. And that's the very thing David desires. Everyone who is a Christian should desire the same. That should be the overriding, dominant desire, this dominant desire. As you come here into the psalm, my ways in God's ways. So he's focusing on that. This desire of David. Two things that are drawn from it. First of all, he is a man who knows and feels that he needs direction. That somehow it is not something he can do himself, but needs outside guidance and help. He needs this direction. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that while he has a responsibility to be holy and to walk in God's ways, he realizes that only God can really and effectively give him this direction in his life to do it. He needs direction, and it comes from God. And those are the two things that we draw from this text. First of all, David knows he needs direction. The child of God is concerned about his or her ways. You see, we all have our ways, don't we? That's true of every man and woman. There's no exception. Everybody has their ways. We talk about a man's ways. We're born to have ways. We're born to make a journey through life. We're born to go in courses and paths. Every man walks. As soon as he's born, he has ways. He has goings. There's no escaping it. We all have conduct and behavior. Everyone. There's no man in the world, even if he's in a wheelchair and he's a cripple and he can't physically walk, there's no man in the world you can't say he doesn't have a walk. Everybody has a walk. Everybody has conduct and behavior. Everybody gets on in certain ways. There's no escaping it. We all have to have that. That's what we're born for into the world. We're rational beings created in the image of God with a moral nature. We know right from wrong, and we have choices to make all our lives. And we all have our ways then. But the thing is, our ways are not usually in conformity to God's ways. That's the problem. The walk of men is different from what God wants. Men are naturally in foreign ways, off ways from the ways of God. Sometimes very far off ways from the ways of God. Men go in wrong ways. They go in selfish ways. They go in sinful ways. They go in wicked, depraved ways. The Bible says, surely every man walketh. Do you see what I'm saying? Everybody walks. But how does every man usually walk who hasn't experienced the grace of God? Surely every man walketh in a vain show. It's a walk of selfishness. It's a walk of self-glory and self-promotion. A walk where the man comes first. That's how generally men walk. We not only walk, we walk in a vain show. A wrong way. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the ways of men, you see. The Lord sees us. He seeth all his goings. And the ways of man, even these wrong ways, are always before the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord is always pondering our goings. Now, if the Lord's pondering our goings, we should be doing it as well, I can tell you. Something we should be concerned about, my ways. There's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and that's generally the way that men are going. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone down the wrong path. All of us. Just like sheep. We've gone into the byways and the meadows and away from the right path. That's why sinners are going to perish at the end of their journey. Because they're in the wrong way and it leads to destruction. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give to every man according to his ways. You remember how the wise man in Ecclesiastes says, okay, young man, you rejoice. You rejoice in your youth. You let your heart cheer you all the days of your youth. You walk on in your own ways and you just follow your own heart. You just do what's right in your own eyes. But I want you to know this much, that for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. The end of those ways are judgment and death. So all these ways, they're really all the broad road. Different tracks along the whole broad road that leads to destruction. And generally men don't care about these things. They don't care about their ways. They do not worry that their ways displease God. They just go on in the darkness and in their carelessness. And as I say, they'll continue to the end unless the Lord awakens them to their danger. And they repent and they turn and they get on to the narrow way. You read of wicked kings in the Bible. They're very often described as those who just went in the way of their fathers. that just followed the Father's way, a way of sin, a way of selfishness, a way of destruction. And so we do, we all do. We all follow our first father, Adam, unless grace rescues us. We all walk in the ways of him. We all go off into the trees, into the darkness, away from the path of God. God comes walking in the noon of the day in the garden. But, you know, Adam's not on the path. Adam's not on the track where he usually is, where God meets with him on the path when God comes walking. God comes walking along his way, and Adam's left it. He's gone off into the trees. He's getting a covering for himself, and he's hiding. And that's how all mankind is. They've gone away from God into the perishing ways of darkness. But God called Adam. And mercifully, God calls all men. And he calls them with the gospel. And men who heed that call get back into the way that leads to life. And that way for us sinners is Jesus Christ. We have to come to Christ to get into the way again, the narrow way. We have to come to Christ, turn from sin and believe on him. And then Christians who have come to Christ and who are in union with him, they have light now and they have understanding, and God has worked in their heart, and they become concerned about their ways. They never had that before they were converted. They were careless and just went on in darkness. But when the Lord saved them and brought them back into the right way again, they become conscious of their ways, that their ways had to please the Lord. They've been born again, you see. They have new desires. They have understanding. One of the new desires that they get in this understanding through grace, oh, that my ways were directed to always stay in God's ways. This new desire. This is the desire of a born-again believer. This is the desire of the new heart. The desire of the Christian is, after he comes out of the baptism in his union to Jesus Christ, he desires now to walk in newness of life. So Christians desire to please the Lord. And how do they do that? By walking in his ways. And that's our chief end now, or it ought to be. But the thing is, the godly don't find that easy. And they have to pray, oh, that my ways were directed. It's not something that even comes naturally to them, even though they are Christians. It's still not easy, it's hard. They still have to battle. They still have to maintain their walk. They still have to watch and be on their guard and pray. The way is difficult, and it's still easy to go astray, even for believers. We find, as Christians, we very often still have our own ways in our hearts. And David knows this as well. Now, it's not like walking in an unconverted state. It's not like walking in darkness and in blindness. But still we find that there's not a perfect conformity to God's will. We're not sinless. We're not like Christ yet. We find this. We become conscious of this. And we have to be more and more made like the Lord Jesus. I remind you how the psalm ends. I've referred to this before. At the very last verse in the psalm, he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. The man who said at the start, oh, that my ways were directed, even at the end, he has to say, I've still gone away like a lost sheep. That's the way it is for Christians. It's always a battle. They always have to have this yearning. They always have to strive and to sanctify themselves. But they know they can't go on in their own ways. And they want the Lord to gather them up. Oh, seek out thy servant and cause my ways to be in thy ways. So in our text, you can see that David really is conscious that he is not perfect. He has a consciousness of imperfection, doesn't he, when he says, oh, that my ways. He knows that sometimes his ways are not the ways of keeping all of God's statutes. He came in through the door of Psalm 119. He heard the words in the porch, and he becomes conscious he's not as godly as he should be. And he breathes out this prayer. Oh, that
somehow we would get the direction that we need. Be godly.
That somehow we would know that hand in our life that would put us in the right paths. This is what he desires. Maybe he's thinking of his sins and failures. Maybe he just had been restored to the Lord. Maybe it was after he wrote Psalm 51 and he's asked for forgiveness and he's asked for cleansing. And now he just prays, oh Lord, that I'll walk in your ways more carefully from now on. Perhaps that's the background to this prayer. He strongly feels he needs direction. He can't do it on his own. Why is that? Because, brethren and sisters, we still have hearts that are capable of sinning. That's why. You see, conversion does not mean glorification. Conversion does not mean sinlessness. It means a change of mind, a change of attitude to sin, a change of relationship to sin. It means that sin is no longer reigning in the heart, that it's been kicked off the throne, that it doesn't have the top post, but it's not dead yet. It's not completely defeated and eradicated yet. Still wanting to get back on the throne again of the heart. And the Christian, you see, is warring against sin continually, warring this warfare against this thing that has been kicked off the throne of his heart. He used to love it. He used to let sin reign. He used to follow it with all his might and power and loved it. But it's been kicked off the throne, and now he battles sin. He's a different relationship to sin. Through conversion, through the grace of God. So he's warring a good warfare. But this sin has some power yet. And David feels something like that in his heart. Something like what Paul feels when he said, oh, the good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do, he says. This is the way it is with me. I delight in the law of God, he says, after the inward man. But there's another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, into the law of sin which is in my members still. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And so there's this battle, even for the Apostle Paul, this battle. And it's the same for us all. And we have to pray like David prayed, oh, that my ways were directed. So there's not only remaining sin that makes him pray this. There's still the wicked and malicious subtle enemy, Satan. And Satan has his devices and snares, and he would get us off the way. And he would entrap us in his ways still. And he has his means and his devices to do that. That's his aim, you see, to get us off God's ways. To get our ways to be in the ways of the world still. He wants to get us back into the way of the world and into the way of sin. The devil is subtle to get us off the path. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was a Savior who stuck to the way of God. Never left it. He says, a commandment have I received of my Father. I've kept it. He gave me a commandment, and I've kept it. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the devil came along and tried to get him off that. Tried to get him onto a selfish way. Tried to get him on a way that was contrary to the commandment and word of his Father. The devil came to Christ to get him off it. But the devil had no success with Christ, because the Lord Jesus had an impeccable human nature. A sinless human nature that couldn't sin, because he was the Son of God. But we don't have that impeccable nature. We don't have that sinlessness. We have a nature that is still capable of sinning and falling. We're not glorified yet.
We're not transformed unto the likeness of Jesus completely. And there's a Satan to battle with. And the consciousness of this, David probably is praying, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You know, we're no match for Satan. And this is why you have to pray this. Oh, keep giving me that direction, Lord. Because the Satan is so wild and so powerful. We're no match for him. You remember David? Maybe it was after this Satan came to him, you remember? Number the people, David. Number the people. See how many people you've got. See what kind of a king you are. Number the people, David. Satan got him off the way. He got onto the way of pride and selfishness and self-glory. Satan got him off the track, and he numbered the people. And he lost communion with God. And now he's back again. And he said, oh, Lord, don't let that happen again. Oh, that my ways were directed. All was to keep your statutes. He remembers the Satan when he prays this. And then there are people who easily influence us. We don't want to offend people. We're social beings, you see. And we don't like to hurt people and displease them. We want to please people. We want to please our neighbours and others. And we want our ways to please them. And sometimes to keep on pleasing them, we have to conform to their ways. But their ways are contrary to God. So this desire to please our neighbour may get us off the way of pleasing God. We may become men-pleasers, or we have fear of men and we don't want them to rise up against us. So we'll go the easy path, but the easy path is away from God's path. But we choose the easy path because we don't like it rough. We don't want to get roughed up by men. And David has this weakness too, I'm sure, the fear of man. David has his princes and his counselors around him, and they give him counsel, and I'm sure he doesn't want to go against them all the time. And so he has to pray, oh Lord, direct me to keep your ways no matter what. Take away the fear of man. Put your hand upon me, Lord. So David has his princes and counselors that are giving counsel contrary to God at times. He has to go into cabinet meetings. And I'm sure he's going into cabinet meetings saying, Lord, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You know, politicians have to pray this, especially politicians who are in government, who are Christians. They're going to go into positions where there's decisions going to be made and compromises that are going to have to be chosen. They're going to have conscience. And they're going to have to come in before the Lord and say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. No matter what the cabinet says, no matter what the parliament says, no matter what the party says, oh, that my ways were directed. They have to pray like this. Man's counsel will often lead us astray. That's why David said, thy testimonies are my counselors. They're the only thing that I should really listen to at the end of the day. This direction doesn't come from Satan. It doesn't come from men. It doesn't come from our corrupt hearts. God's word is very clear on this. I know that the way of man is not in himself. Not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Not of man. This direction doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from our heart. It doesn't come from anyone but God. But we need it. And that's our second point. We need this direction, and David knows where it comes from. It comes from God. Now, he has a responsibility to be holy. He has a responsibility to keep the statutes. He has a responsibility to do his part, but only God can really and effectively give him that ability and keep him right. And thus he has this yearning. He's looking to the Lord. He's looking to God to give him the direction, the enablement that he needs. And he prays similar prayers to this throughout the psalm. Later on he says, uphold me according to thy word. Keep me up. Don't let me sink into wicked ways. Don't let me get into a place where I'm ashamed. Uphold me. Keep me up from getting into the mire. Hold thou me up, and I will be safe. And I'll have respect unto your statutes continually. You see, he needs the hand of the Lord to hold him up. But he also needs the hand of the Lord to direct him, to put him in the right path, to show the way. And that's what he is desiring here from God. And the Lord will fulfill that desire, child of God. That's what I'm saying. That's part of your sanctification. You have to have this desire, but the Lord fulfills it. If it's true and sincere, he promises us this direction. If we use the means that he has appointed, he has given his people the Holy Spirit. He's given us his Spirit who guides us, who directs us into truth. We can have the Spirit. We can have the Spirit's guidance. We can have the Spirit's leading into truth, the divine comforter who directs us into the ways of the Lord. The Spirit helpeth us. The Spirit himself personally helpeth us. The Spirit will direct us. And then the Word of God gives this direction to us as well, because we look up for the help of direction, but we have to know that there are means at hand to give it. The Holy Spirit is nearby. He is dwelling within us. And then we have the Word. You come in here with the Word, and the Word is giving direction. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I'm using thy word right, I'll soon know that I'm off the path. I'll soon know that my ways are not going right. It's just not right here. It's not looking like the Lord's ways at all. And so we have the Lord's word, and it will come and guide us and direct us. But we have to trust in the Lord. Didn't we read there this morning? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lead on to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The very thing you're wanting. Oh, that my ways were directed. He'll direct your paths, but you have to look to him. You have to trust him. You have to acknowledge him. You have to bow your head and say, Lord, lead me in this matter. Give me the grace. Help me. We have to ask the Lord. We have to tell him. We need him to keep us on the right path. We have to ask him to guide our steps. Do you remember how Paul would sometimes pray for God's people? He did so for the Thessalonians. He said in the first letter to the Thessalonians, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. We need the Father and the Son to direct our way. The Lord direct your hearts, he said in the second letter to them. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord give you direction so that you will get into his love and think upon his love and meditate more upon his love and have that patience. The Lord direct your ways like that, a way of love, a way of knowing the love of God and experiencing the love of God, a way of getting patience in all your afflictions as you wait for the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord direct your paths to that end. And so this longing in the child of God's soul is answered as God gives the Spirit his word and the means of grace, and as we pray and trust in him. But we have to know this, congregation, that even though David prays like that all the time in the house, at the end he still has to say, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. You see, it won't have ultimate fulfillment until Jesus comes. This is when it has its ultimate answer. When this desire has its full satisfaction. Remember how the Lord says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Now, it won't happen immediately. They'll be hungering and thirsting all the days of their life. But when Jesus comes back, it'll be satisfied.
fully satisfied, filled. The yearning and the longing filled when Jesus comes and raises them from the dead. The desire will have the full and final answer in the resurrection of the body. Oh, that my ways were directed. Every day we say it, but on the resurrection day, we say it no more. It's fulfilled. It's answered. The yearning is utterly satisfied. And we awake from the grave. And we come out of the tomb. And the child of God in his glorification is given this animation and ability to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he goes, whatever path he takes, whatever direction the Lord Jesus chooses. The people of God have this ability to follow him whithersoever he leadeth. They don't have to yearn anymore. They just do it through his grace, through the glorifying power of the Holy Spirit, who has dwelt in their bodies and who has raised them from the grave. And they see Christ, and when he appears, they're like him. For they see him as he is, and they walk in his ways, faultless and always throughout all eternity, following the Lamb whithersoever he doth lead them. This yearning then is satisfied. Oh, that. May this be your desire and my desire as we seek to be godly and holy. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless his word to you for his great name's sake.